Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
Ben.
And John.
And here we are, another great hostful. Yay! Here.
Oh wait, that's us.
Dude, it's just us. We're not interviewing anybody. What'd you do, scare some people away? Or?
No. But I actually have today I lined up our next comedian for our Comics on Comics. And actually, I want to announce that now we're changing the name. Because there actually is a podcast called Comics on Comics.
Damn them.
And they tweeted at us when we had
thank
the
you for the free publicity.
Pretty much. They're like, oh, great podcast. Can you just change the name of your segment? I'm like, right. Okay. So those who follow us on...
That was a polite predecessor to a cease and desist.
Yes.
This is like trying to find a name on AOL, right? They're all taken. You'll have to take some like foreign name plus right. Some dead
why
language.
Can't I just be Jeff? How many of those can there be?
So, those who follow us on Twitter know that we tweet out jokes at least once a day with hashtag funny speak.
Who is this we you're talking about?
The people out there in the internet.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we're going to call the segment now. Funny speak. So, yes. So look for that next one coming very soon. As more details come available, you guys will know.
Wait, I just Googled that. It's taken.
Did you run that by the marketing department?
Well, that's you, Ben. So I'm running by you right now.
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
After I run it through legal.
So that will that be John. So anyway, now back to our usual business. And of course that would be the Geek of the Week or the Honorary Beard of Knowledge, as Ben likes to call it.
Or something. All of which are probably trademarked by somebody.
The last week's question was, I know you weren't here, Ben. Maybe John remembers. In the Star Wars prequels, how many suits of clone armor were actually produced for those movies? Come on, guys. Give me a guess.
Well, I know what I saw at least one person guess at, and I don't know if it's the right answer because I don't care. But the answer that I saw on our page was that there were none produced because it was all CG.
Well, yes. Yes, you are 100% correct. And the people who did write in this week and guessed were 100% correct on that one. Yes, it was all CG, you know, because Lucas decided practical effects didn't make sense anymore.
Right. He also, I think it really came down to the stand-in actors who were playing the stormtroopers. He really just wanted them to run around naked and tell them, oh, we'll CG in the costumes later.
Well, that's probably true, too. Nice. So... And the winner we have this week is a very special winner, and that is Eugene Figarelli. And his answer was delivered to me via my son, because he is one of my son's classmates.
Yes. Some organic marketing there.
Exactly. So congratulations, Eugene. Since you can't grow a beard of your own yet, you are this week's honorary beard of knowledge.
He's an honorary scruff of knowledge.
Yes. So, congratulations. And don't forget to tell all your classmates to listen to this episode so they can hear your name announced. So, there you go. Yes, I'm using the children.
I see.
This week's question. This is a bit of a... oddball one that I ran across, and I thought this was a fun fact. I never knew this, even though, like most people, at one point I was a fan of Michael Jackson, and I'm a fan of Marvel Comics.
It explains so much, Dave.
In the 90s, Michael Jackson actually attempted to buy Marvel Comics. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
That brings up some, yeah. Okay.
So the question is, why did he want to buy Marvel Comics? He had a very specific reason on why he wanted to buy them.
And the answers PG.
It's a good question, Dave, but I think the answer is fairly clear. That he wanted the mantle of Captain Marvel transferred from, you know, Carol Danvers to this young, light-skinned African-American man who happened to be named Jekyll Maxon.
Ben, you and your imagination. Just wrong. So, anything exciting happened in the news lately? I don't know.
I haven't heard much of anything.
Actually, I would like to begin this discussion with a statement. I've already posted this on social media, but I feel it bears repeating. And John, be quiet until I finish the statement.
Oh.
When...
He didn't say me, though.
When Marvel and DC were both fighting for the release date of Captain America 3 versus Batman v Superman, a lot of the DC fans defended Batman v Superman, saying they should have the release date because it was going to be the better movie because it had Batman and Superman in it, and it was going to make $1 billion. But guess what, boys and girls? Not only is Captain America 3 going to be Civil War, which means you're going to have Cap and Iron Man fighting it out in this
movie. And pretty much everybody else.
You're now going to have Spider-Man coming home.
What?
Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, if Batman v Superman is going to make $1 billion, Civil War is going to make $5 billion.
No, I would go so far as to say I think it'll make $1 trillion.
There you go.
Cool trillion.
A cool trillion, everyone.
And then we will get every Marvel movie we ever wanted for the rest of our lives.
Yes. Even a Howard the Duck movie.
No, better. Howard the Duck TV show.
Oh, yes. So,
and then,
yes.
And then John will die.
So that is the big shake-up news, everyone, that Sony and Marvel have reached an agreement. And
because somebody saw that there would be dollar signs and probably watched that CinemaSins Jeremy spree about, you know, how stupid they were being. And while I am so very happy to see Spider-Man coming on board, I has a sad about DC.
Yes. Although, I think as much as it probably was influenced by a number of factors, I think probably one of the more critical influencing factors was the recent quote-unquote Korean hackers that seemed to expose a lot of Sony's emails that suggested they were talking about it. And since there was a lot of positive feedback around that happening, I think they pretty much had to work something out. But there also was some shuffling, from what I understand, of execs over at Sony, which I think also helped pave the way for this to happen.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of what's-her-name.
Yes. Okay. Famous what's-her-name.
Yes.
Right. And I'm sure that's, you know, a lot of times, as we all know and who've worked in the business world, that, you know, sometimes if there's somebody who's against something and they all of a sudden leave the company, well, guess what? There's no problem. We can make it happen. Right.
Problem solved.
I mean, I find the whole deal fascinating. Obviously, we only know. And let me preface this conversation, everyone, with saying, we know what you know. You know, this is all hearsay and speculation for the most part.
Well, to be fair, we know a little bit more than you do because we spend too much time scrolling through the internet because we have no lives.
The fact that these are unfounded rumors has never stopped us before.
No.
And so we're going to repeat everything we may or may not have heard.
Well, but unfounded rumor is one thing, but Marvel has actually issued, like, there's a YouTube video that they put on their official channel stating that Spider-Man will be in the Civil War coming in 2016.
That's the one that got 20 million hits in the first 5 minutes, right?
Probably. So whatever is up in the air, which there's plenty, one thing that is of no doubt is that we will have Spider-Man in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie in the year 2016.
Okay, are you going to just see him swing by as a pinpoint in the background across between two buildings?
No, that we don't know. We honestly don't know that, but...
Is it Garfield?
No. Well, pretty much that seems to be a no. Marvel has stated that they pretty much want him out of the role. They want a fresh new face in the role. They want to rewind the clock a bit and make him younger.
Well,
high school aged.
Before we get to the casting, because I have a couple interesting thoughts on that myself. All the articles and everything that I've been finding on the internet, of course, not only is it like, oh my God, Spider-Man, blah, 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 coming home and all this talk about Civil War and what's it going to be. And, you know, this changes the game because now Spidey's going to be in it. But a lot of people aren't talking about the other side of the deal, which is Kevin Feige.
Yeah, co-producing.
Is going to co-produce the next solo Spider-Man movie being released by Sony.
Yep.
And, like, that's fascinating to me because that basically means Marvel is going to get, well, Disney, but Marvel will get a piece of Sony's profits from the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, and that is a bold move, but at the same time, and I'm sure that's probably why this was a long time in coming and took a lot of negotiation to get to this point. But I think that what it boiled down to is Sony finally saw the cold hard reality in that they've been making decisions, or the people they've had in charge have been making decisions that have been hurting the success of these franchises. Mm-hmm. This is their second outing trying to get to keep Spider-Man going, with, you know, where they've had a sequel flop, and this time it, you know, by flop, it still managed to be very profitable, but it was highly panned, and it could have been a lot more profitable had it not been for plot anomalies. So there's definitely a growing sentiment that they keep taking it in the wrong direction. And clearly Marvel with Disney has a winning formula, and while it may cost them a little bit to get in bed with them, it may also gain them a lot more than they lose.
Now here's a little something that I might be able to add here. Amy Pascal, who's the CEO, I guess, of Sony, and she left. From what I've read, she was more into making films that were not the opposite of Michael Bay-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so having, you know, doing a collaboration with Marvel with the Spider-Man franchise might have been something that she, you know, it's like you said, when it's interesting to see what's possible once a certain CEO or executive leaves, that might have been stonewalling stuff. And it just might be that she was actually stonewalling the thing. And now that she's gone, this is what happens.
Right.
Could be.
Yeah, and it's again, it's an interesting deal because all we know so far, again, we just know those two major factors about the deal.
Right.
And when you look at it, it looks like it's a win-win for Marvel, and Sony's getting the short end of the stick. But there has to
be. I disagree.
No.
I disagree.
They're both going to make tons of money.
Because even if Marvel gets a cut from the Sony picture, because of Marvel's influence, will make a shit ton more than it would have if Sony went ahead and did the things it was planning to do. Because I think they've soured the audience. You know, if they went ahead with the plans they had to make the Sinister Six movie and to make the, you know, whatever female spinoff thing they were planning to do and do an Amazing Spider-Man 3, those numbers would have dwindled and dwindled, and they probably wouldn't have gotten past one more movie before they got to a point where they basically broke even. Like, their next movie, they would have broken even at best, and they would have had to scrap any future plans.
And if Spider-Man is appearing in you know, the Marvel franchise, then
there's got to be a cost sharing there as well. It goes both ways.
Right, and what it means is it's now a shared universe, right? So
yeah.
You Sony's opening up the Spider-Man franchise to all the people that are watching all the other Marvel franchises, and they're going to watch the next Spider-Man movie just to see what the end credit scene is.
Well, and that's right. Again, there's another thought on this too, is that are we opening the gates both ways? Okay, we're going to have a solo.
I assume so, yeah.
We have a solo Spider-Man movie, but could Captain America or Iron Man show up in a solo Spider-Man
cameo. Yeah, you would think so. It might be an interesting negotiation to work that out, because a lot of those actors have already some pretty specific contracts
with
their roles. But what you could see, here's what I project is more likely to be the case, is while we may not necessarily see Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans or even, you know, Mark Ruffalo show up in a, well, maybe see Mark Ruffalo show up in a Spider-Man movie. That would be interesting. But more likely, I think you might see Luke Cage, Iron Fist, some of the ones that they're premiering on the small screen with their Netflix series is, it's a great way to transition them to the big screen. Partnering up with someone they typically partner with in the comics. And it'll only enrich the Spider-Man universe on the big screen.
Right, right. That would be interesting. I mean, take a page from a little bit from the Ultimate cartoon and have those guys on there.
Make it a bit of a loose team.
Right. And here's another thing, going back to, you know, those of us who've worked in any kind of business and know how agreements work, there's one thing that I keep seeing in comments everywhere, and a couple of people, even a couple articles mentioned this, like, oh, are they going to be scrambling to rewrite the script for Civil War to include Spider-Man? Now, we all know, I mean, you guys can disagree with me if you want, but they had the script written with Spidey in it. This announcement came out.
Well, my guess is that they probably had two versions of the script written. They had a version where with Spidey, if it worked out, and they had a backup version without Spidey where someone else played a similar role or where that role wasn't necessary as an alternate if the deal fell through. And since they haven't, I don't think they've actually started photography for it. Mm-hmm. They still had that wiggle room if they needed to go one way or the other.
Right, and actually, I'm willing to take a bet. I'm willing to put money on this. And the only person who can actually confirm or deny this would be Kevin Feige. But we all have at least seen on YouTube at this point the press release when they announced all the movies coming up. And in that press, they also announced who was playing Black Panther.
Right.
But before they got to the Black Panther announcement, first they showed a logo that said for Captain America 3, it was the Serpent Society.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. And then towards the end, I don't like that subtitle, and it switched to Civil War.
Yep.
I'm willing to bet money that was the backup script. There was a Serpent Society script, and then once they realized, oh, we got Spidey, it became Civil War.
Maybe. My only problem with that is they seem to announce firmly on the Civil War title long before the Spider-Man confirmation came out publicly.
Right.
And I tend to believe that would be, I don't know. I tend to believe that even if the Spider-Man thing fell through, we still would have gotten a version of Civil War, but perhaps maybe the Serpent Society would have played a part in it, or something like that. I don't think they would have completely pivoted.
Okay. Kevin Feige, if you're listening, tweet at us, hashtag Ben was right or hashtag Dave was right, just so we know the answer to this. That's all.
Yeah, because right.
It might be hard to find that tweet amongst all of the Ben was right tweets that are out there.
Ooh. Yeah, but who's counting?
Those I automatically delete. I thought you knew that. I do think though the script is definitely done. So now we can talk a little bit about casting.
Yes. I'll go ahead and say that while I don't think there's any chance of this, there have been a lot of rumors flying around about or suggestions that they should switch over to Miles Morales. I don't think they should. I'm not saying that they shouldn't ever introduce Miles Morales in the cinematic universe, but I don't agree with that direction. And it's not a race thing. I just think that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. I'm perfectly fine with expanding and having a wider array of Spider-Men, but you have to have Peter Parker.
Spider-Man. Oh.
That's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yes.
With the dash.
Yes. So I mean, I don't know if either of you disagree with me on that point. Again, I think it'd be fine to find a way to introduce Miles Morales, but I don't think he should be our primary Spider-Man.
Yeah, they can't do it. They can't do it on the initial hit with this new start. The yes. third new start in my lifetime. Holy crap.
Yeah. But
wait, guys, shh. Can you hear it? I can hear it. The internet is screaming back at us.
I'm sure they are.
Now let me break it down a little bit further with this. First off, Miles Morales is a perfectly fine character, you know, and he's a great character in the Ultimate Universe.
Perfectly fine character.
But which
they're about to mess up. Go ahead.
But you guys both said that, you know, you guys both hit the nail on the head. You know, if you go ask the average person, not a comic book reader, but somebody who's familiar with the, you know, Marvel characters and whatnot, ask them, who is Spider-Man? They're going to tell you Peter Parker, you know, and it's a huge gamble to try to spoon feed us Miles Morales in a movie when he's never been established. And I did some research. He's never been a major character on any cartoons or video games yet.
Yeah.
So he's been in no other media other than that comic book.
Right.
So
it'd be a reach.
Right, right. Again, it has nothing to do with race or anything like that. And I know there's a move to try to be more politically correct with heroes, but I don't think there's a need for that at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Because in the interim, we're going to be getting Black Panther and Luke Cage. Plus, we already have Nick Fury. Powers.
No hand-me-downs there.
Exactly. We also have Nick Fury, Deathlok, and War Machine. So, I mean...
And Heimdall.
Oh, that's right. So there you go. I mean, there's already an array of
and Falcon. You forgot Falcon.
And Falcon. Oh my God. Yeah. See exactly, people. Don't complain that that there isn't enough diversity in the Marvel universe. There's a lot right now.
So you heard it here, Dave saying quit your bitching.
So let's just worry about Pete. Maybe in a couple movies, we, you know, whoever the actor is who plays Pete can retire. And maybe we'll get Miles. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Ben Reilly. Maybe we'll get Spider-Girl. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Oh,
Although Spider-Girl would be interesting, but it wouldn't fit at all. but before we get into the casting rumors of who might play the role, which I do think there's some interesting names floating around for that, I read something today that I thought was brilliant in it as an idea that will never happen. But if they could manage to pull it off, it would be awesome. And that was, what if they didn't announce who was playing Spider-Man?
Ah! I read the same thing. I was going to bring the same thing up, but go ahead.
Until you saw him in... like, so one of the pivotal pieces to Civil War is Spider-Man unmasks himself to the public. So what if that was how we found out who was playing Peter Parker?
Yes.
That in the movie, he literally unmasked. No one knows who plays the part. No one knows who's in the movie until you're sitting in the theater and you see him take off the mask.
That would be cool, but we all know that would not work in today's world.
It would not. There's no way that would happen unless they managed. The only way that would work is if they literally hired like five different actors to possibly be playing the part and had them all on retainer and all on NDAs to not disclose, you know, whether or not they were the real Spider-Man.
Right.
Which would be a very expensive experiment.
Or the other way is you hire someone you claim is him, have him do all the interviews, don't show his face in the previews, and then it's a different actor when he takes his mask off in the movie.
That'd be crazy.
No,
I think that would make people, that particular version, I think would make people angry because they would feel like they were lied to. Right. It'd be one thing to knowingly have something hidden and be waiting for the reveal, but to have information that's false, I think, would be a violation of trust.
Right, right.
So, but anyway, so yeah, that would be cool, but it's never going to happen. Who I've heard, at least two of the names that I've heard that I actually think are worth considering, I think there are others, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even remember their names, but... the guy who played Percy Jackson from the
Lightning
series,
Thief.
The Lightning Thief, and the guy who was in the lead guy in The Maze Runner series are the two that I think have, and I think there's a third guy from Teen Wolf that has been talked about, or maybe that's the same guy. I don't know. Go ahead.
So Logan Lerman from
yes.
Percy Jackson and...
Thank you, IMDb.
Not IMDb, are you kidding me? I'm looking at Screen Rant.
Fair enough.
Dylan O'Brien and John Weston? Oh, no, he's from Project Almanac, but that's apparently he's another person that's...
Who's okay, name's, yeah, I knew there was a third that him and... But that actually, one didn't really stick in my head as much.
Actually, there's six.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah, but, sure there's millions of people suggesting actors right now.
So mm-hmm. going on what I know of what they're supposedly looking for, if they are in fact looking to make him younger, high school age, and you know, and have that Peter Parker sensibility, I think the guy, I'm going to forget his name already, Logan Lerman, is that what you said?
Yes.
Who played Percy Jackson. I think he could do that very well. I think he still has that youngish look about him that he could pull that off, even though he was probably like 20 now.
He's
23. I think he could still pull off the teenage look. And I think that from what I've seen of him in at least the Percy Jackson series, I think he can pull off the demeanor.
All right. I can't think of the guy's name. You just said it earlier. My mind's blanking. Who played Spidey now?
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Garfield. The guy from Maze Runner reminds me a little bit of Garfield. I remember thinking that when I watched the movie.
A little, I guess.
And I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons people keep mentioning him.
Well, I think he has a very similar look. Like he could be, you know, Logan Lerman's twin brother in a movie.
Right.
They could literally be not like fraternal twin brothers, in a movie together. But I think I haven't seen Maze Runner, and I haven't seen enough with him in it to really judge him, for the part. I think that it's the only one of those that I know of that are up for it is the guy from Percy Jackson, and he definitely I think I could see him fitting.
Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah, he just mentioned that name a minute ago.
Yeah. I know, but we keep saying the guy from Maze Runner. I just wanted to say it again.
Hugh Jackman.
Who's 22.
come on.
That brings up another point that we'll get to shortly.
But you know what? The problem is a lot of these actors that we're banding about, that everybody's talking about, they're all your basic screen hunks.
Your basic bros?
Yeah. If you don't get somebody like Grant Gustin, you know, who's playing The Flash, who... turns out his personality just comes through perfectly. He would be a great Spider-Man.
Yeah, would be a pretty good one. And you know he's not going to get on the big screen in that role.
Well, that would be awesome. But that's the kind of person that they need to find. A generic bra isn't going to do it.
If Ryan Reynolds can make the jump from DC to Marvel, so can these other guys. No. All right. Now, I'm going to say something that might not be the most popular thing in the room.
That's not uncommon for you.
I know. But I feel it bears mentioning. And it's important that we bring this up. So the Sony emails got leaked, right? Which was talking about this merger or this deal with Sony, Marvel to bring Spider-Man home. And there was a lot of stuff that came out of those. You know, and Sony actually denied it too when they were confronted about it. They said, no, there's no deal with Marvel going on. And obviously that there you go. There was, the other thing that came out, they didn't like, Garfield in the movie.
Yeah.
And, they said that their first choice was Tobey Maguire. That was actually in the emails that were leaked. So, now, I know now they've come out and said they want a young Spider-Man in high school again, but when you think about the storyline of Civil War, part of what makes him the pivotal character in the movie is he's an older person now, he's married, he's you know, got more to lose by revealing his identity at that point. And he's a high school teacher – He's, you know, so he has a good job. He's married and happy. And so the whole thing is like, will he or won't he reveal his identity? He reveals his identity. He's risking all of that. And, you know, a high school kid, I don't see him as having that much to risk. So to me, putting an older actor like Toby back in the role would be, you know, would make the most sense. And I kept thinking about it, and it's funny. And I thought the perfect Mary Jane would be Emma Stone.
Okay. I know that people can win the internet, but how do you, can you actually lose it? Cause that,
you think he did?
Yeah, I think I'm sorry. Toby Maguire is just not.
No, he's a horrible. He was a horrible Spider-Man. He was an okay Peter Parker, but he was a horrible Spider-Man.
I mean, he just literally. I mean, as much as like the guy playing the Flash, his personality comes through. Toby Maguire is like a personality void that sucks in personality. I mean, he's an amazing actor. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. In that role, you need somebody who is very obviously very outgoing, very gregarious, and he just did not. It just didn't work with him.
Yeah. Al, have you read a Spider-Man comic?
Yes.
I don't take him as a very outgoing character.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Have you?
I think he's more outgoing than you think. The whole thing here's the thing about Peter Parker. Yes, he tends to be shy in high school as a student because he gets picked on for everything he says and does. But that's not his personality. That's not his personality shining through. He's forced an introvert as Peter Parker, but then he puts on the mask and his true personality comes out. And he is snarky and he is witty and he is clever all the time. And, you know, I never really came across that way with Tobey Maguire.
I think a lot of that had to do with the writing of those movies. I think Sam Raimi wanted to keep the sarcastic jokes to a minimum when he was as Spider-Man.
I have a hard time picturing Tobey Maguire saying a line sarcastically, period.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just know that that's what the emails said that were released, you know, and now all of a sudden we're getting a different story. So, and this actually ties back into something else, casting wise. Everyone's favorite character from the original series, J. Jonah Jameson, as portrayed by J.K. Simmons. He was recently on the Howard Stern show, and Howard asked him, you know, would you ever consider reprising the role of J. Jonah Jameson? Now, this is before the announcement came out, by the way. And he started saying one thing and then stopped himself and said that – I can't remember the exact quote, but basically was saying that it was not an impossibility or something – you know, that it was something he would do and, it could be a possibility. So I'm kind of wondering, regardless of Tobey Maguire and
Garfield
and whoever's going to play Spider-Man, I have a feeling Marvel does know one of the things they need to do is bring back J. Jonah Jameson. And, I mean, there are other actors who could play him, but when you have the best, why go with anyone else, right?
True. I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So on the casting point, though, I'll throw out another idea. And I was just... decided to do some trolling of young talent on the interwebs. For the purposes of casting in this movie.
Okay. All right.
And
this I told you don't talk about that stuff on the air.
Dude.
that I'll do later. So the idea I came up with, or the one I came across that I thought might actually be a really good fit for the young teenage Peter Parker, would be Nolan Gould, more commonly known as Luke Dunphy on Modern Family.
Hmm.
I don't watch Modern Family, so I don't know.
That's your
loss. Actually, all right, I could actually see that. I mean, and he would definitely. I mean, he's younger in real life, but
right. Well, he's like 16 now.
Right. So, I mean, you could easily believe him playing a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a very interesting.
And he's despite the role he plays, he is incredibly intelligent.
Right. So that's an interesting thought. Could that work? Of course, you know, the problem with getting TV stars is they have
TV obligations.
TV obligations.
That show is not going to last forever.
I know, but it's still one of the highest rated shows on TV.
Perhaps. That's sad on some levels.
It's actually not a bad choice.
I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's a good show. But it is kind of sad that that is the highest rated comedy on TV right now.
Oh, come on. It's funny.
It is funny. But it's,
well, then what are you complaining about?
Because shows could be funnier. And
okay.
That's all.
All right, all right. That would work, you know. But I don't know. I still think, regardless of who it is, I still have a feeling like I would rather see more true to the comic, an adult Peter Parker who has a wife and feels like he has more to lose by revealing his identity than a kid in high school. But who knows? That's okay. Neither. That's not us for us to decide.
But we can influence with our great sphere of influence.
Yes. Influence. So yeah, that's I don't know. Was there anything else we wanted to say about this before we look at some other topics?
Nothing that will be in the subliminal messaging after we pre-process. So. Nice.
Okay. Oh, and also, ladies and gentlemen, even though he's not cast yet, as far as we know, because that's another thing, you know, they might have an actor in their back pocket they're just not telling us about.
That'd be a really small actor.
Yes, yes. I don't think you need to have someone cast in the role to have Spider-Man show up in a post-credit scene. Because, again, you can just have like a stuntman in a suit.
That's true.
Because you'd have to hear the voice.
No, you don't need to hear the voice. Did you hear Thanos? Thank you. Thanos' voice at the end of the first Avengers?
Well, if it wasn't his voice, I heard it was all the screaming fanboys, but, you know.
No, he simply turns and looks at the camera, turns sideways. You know, that's all they have to do. Just have show New York being rebuilt and have Spider-Man swing by.
Or just perched on like a...
On a flagpole.
On top of a building or a flagpole or something, yeah.
Right,
or
exactly.
Specifically, have him hanging out on the tip of the Freedom Tower, on the spire.
There you go. kind of a tribute to the original scene that was cut.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How many people know? Do a lot of people remember that?
I remember seeing the trailer, and I remember seeing that the trailer went away. When that whole thing was going on, those were interesting times.
Explain it to the viewers who.
So yes, for those who are unaware, there was an original trailer for the initial Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, very early. Pre 9/11, when the trailer came out, that had a helicopter I think starting to crash, but then was caught.
No, they were robbing the bank and they were escaping.
Oh, right, they were escaping, but then the helicopter got caught in a web, and that web happened to be
strung
woven between the two towers of the World Trade Center, Tower 1 and 2, the North and South Towers. And then it had showed Spider-Man hanging from the spire on top of the one and then swing off. But then when 9/11 happened, you did not see that trailer again.
No.
And they created a new one to promote the movie.
Right. Real quick, along the same lines, Civil War, there's been obviously people writing lots of articles about what is Civil War? What does it mean? How can they make it work in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And there was one thing I wanted to first bring up, which I was an interesting point. Robert Downey Jr. just had an interview with Empire Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they ask him about these things and he reveals what he can. One of the most interesting things that he said was the thing that people need to keep in mind is that it might be Civil War, but it's Captain America 3.
Yeah.
It's not Iron Man 4.
Right. It's Captain America centric and it's going to be primarily centered around him and accessory characters around him. So that,
right.
That is what we shouldn't be expecting. Avengers 3 Civil War, where it's Captain America 3 Civil War. So we may see a bunch of different characters from the Avengers and from the other, extensions of the universe, but it's not necessarily going to be all of them, and they're not all going to get the same weight of billing.
Right, right. Because I was doing some thinking this morning, and to do it justice, it would have to be either a two-part movie or just a really long movie to do the whole story. Right. Because again, it encompassed. It wasn't. It was a seven-part miniseries, but it encompassed. But it every encompassed book.
So many titles. It was
right.
I think when you add it up, it was like 150 actual issues of comics.
Right.
If Marvel's willing to do a seven-hour movie, we comic people, we'll watch it.
Yes, we will. Right? If you offer show times where I can watch half of it one day and half of it the next day, I will. My kids will sit through that, and they will be happy.
Pull a Hobbit, make it into three movies. We'll watch every single one of them.
Do not do that. Do not listen to John. He does not speak for us. I disavow anything he just said.
Well, no, two movies, but they release them a week apart so that you just go see the first part and then the next week see the next part.
I don't even know if I want to wait that long. Like, personally, I could sit through 7 hours in one sitting.
Yeah.
My children cannot. So
I have sat through the entire original Lord of the Rings trilogy in a day. So, yeah, I could do it.
I'm sorry. Well, at least it wasn't the Hobbit trilogy.
So, but the thing is, like... But then I started thinking, oh, well, they don't have a lot of characters yet, so they could get away with it. And then I started listing all the characters in the Marvel Universe right now and who we know for sure is going to be introduced by the time Captain right. America 3 comes out. And it's like, so from the films, you have obviously Nick Fury, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Falcon, War Machine, Ant-Man, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Vision, Wasp, well, they haven't confirmed Wasp, and Yellowjacket.
Right. And but there's also the television universe.
Right. So you have Mockingbird, Deathlok, and Quake.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Daredevil.
And then, right. And then you're going to have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and then the release dates aren't solid yet for Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but
right.
they might even be out by then.
It's a possibility. I don't think it's likely, though.
So it's like, oh, and then, Maria Hill.
Why is this making me so sad for some reason? I don't know why it's making me so sad. That
because in the DC side you have
but did you also mention Superman, Quicksilver? Did you also mention Quicksilver and yes. Scarlet Witch?
Yeah, yes. I did.
Okay.
So
and Falcon.
Yes.
And lots of
I did.
People.
I did.
There's that. Lots of people.
That would be a very...
And Winter Soldier.
That would be a... Oh, Winter Soldier,
that's
yes.
Right, that's right.
That would be a very crowded movie.
It would be a very crowded movie. But there's also, and this is a point that you made recently, Dave, is a lot of them don't wear masks.
Right, right, I mean, exactly.
Nick Fury wears half a mask, but I don't know if that really counts.
Right, so since the story in the comics is about the Registration Act.
Right, and identities, although a lot of their identities, well, even though they don't wear masks, people don't know who a lot of these characters are. Like, a lot of these people are operating through anonymity. You know, they have anonymity from just how they operate, not because they're wearing a mask.
Or, right. or they're through S.H.I.E.L.D., which right. knows
which
them.
Which is a form of anonymity. Yeah, yeah, I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. knows who all of these people are. And
Guys, S.H.I.E.L.D. was dissolved in the last Captain America movie.
What there is of S.H.I.E.L.D. knows who they are.
Yes.
And the Avengers know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, the public knowledge, the public know about, definitively, about Iron Man. Maybe know about Captain America, probably know about him and his identity. But the rest, they really don't know. Like, true. they don't know any of those characters, who they are, what they do, what they've done. They've all operated essentially as, you know, as spies. So there's something to be, I could see something done with that. Basically, it'd be more of a, you know, reveal of knowledge about who these operatives are and what they're doing, less than, you know, and their identities and things like that, and less about unmasking.
Right. So, but I mean, is it necessarily going to be the unmasking as the center point, or just about being under the thumb of the government, you know, having to register and you know, if the government says go and do this, you got to do that, which is, although, in the comics, it's one of the main reasons Captain America is against it. It isn't necessarily the unmasking part and the, you know, secret identity part. It's
that they have to operate under the rule of the government to do what they do.
Right.
And it makes it sort of it's a step in the direction of, you know, what the Nazis did.
Right. Exactly. So
by registering you and giving you a number and all that sort of fun stuff. But you know, as far as the masking thing, you know, we don't know that the outcome of Age of Ultron isn't that they all start wearing hoodies and eye makeup.
Hey, oh, low blow. And he doesn't use the eye makeup anymore. He wears a mask.
I know, for reasons that were poorly justified.
Oh yeah, it's sad. No, actually, it's sad because they that those characters won't make it into the cinematic universe.
Yes,
but I digress. And then, of course, on the other side of the
article, they might, just not in the same forms.
I saw another article today where basically they were talking about, and again, some of it was pulled from that same Empire interview. But one of the things they were talking about was like, oh, well, how can you have the how can you have the rebel Tony Stark agree to the Registration Act? He's the same guy who wouldn't give up his armor in Iron Man 2. And the thing that kind of bugged me about the article was, well, but then you didn't pay attention to the character's growth from Iron Man 1 to Iron Man 3.
Right.
He's not the same character we got in Iron Man 1 at all. Right.
Not at all. He grew in that movie and he's grown since that movie.
Right. I mean, he even says in Iron Man 3, talking about Pepper, like, I didn't have anything to lose before. Now I have something to lose, talking about her.
Right.
So he just answered you right there. If you look at the progression of the two characters so far, Captain America and Iron Man, well, I mean, sorry, Steve doesn't have a girlfriend. He had one, and she grew old and has Alzheimer's. Yeah,
their paths actually went in opposite directions.
Right.
You know, whereas Tony Stark had nothing to lose and now has everything to lose, Captain America went from having a lot of things to lose to having nothing to lose at all.
Right, right.
Because he's a man out of place and out of time.
Right, exactly. So when you take it, when you look at those characters, it still makes sense, you know, for them to take the roles they did in the story. So don't worry, people. It'll work. It'll make sense. If you pay attention to the movies up so far, it's going to work.
I have faith that they will find the right justification for a conflict between these characters.
Yes.
And any reason to give us battles similar to what we saw in Avengers between, like, Thor and Iron Man and Captain America, I would love to see more of that.
Yes.
And, I just don't have any bad guys sitting around going, oh, no, I'll just wait right here. No problem. Right. Just take
pining me pining on a ridge. No, you don't. You don't like pining on a ridge and biding his time.
Yes, yes. And more stuff where, you know, they're fighting the main bad guy, and then some of the heroes are trying to make sure people don't die instead of knocking buildings over. Oh, sorry.
No. I agree with that, though.
I got off topic again.
Well, you know, that's how Spider-Man's going to come into play, because as they're fighting over these acts, he's going to just be putting webbing all over to catch all the debris as it falls.
Yes, yes. So let's continue on with other Marvel news. I think we've beaten this one to death.
Right. So we go to the small screen.
Yes.
So, well, we should be getting, after two more episodes of Agent Carter, we'll be getting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back. Not that I haven't enjoyed the respite. It's been a great run on Agent Carter, at least personally, I think.
Yes.
They need to do more.
Yeah. I hope that they get an order to do a second season and come up with a new story arc for it, because I would love more of that. Agent Carter kicks ass. But there have
pardon
been a couple.
Pardon your
French. Yes. Pardon my French again. You know, a lot of that French is coming out of me today. I don't know why that's happening. But there are a couple pieces of news that have aired about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's coming back. One of which has to do with a new regular on the show.
Yes.
Yes. Bobby Morse, a.k.a. Mockingbird, is now a permanent member of the show and of the team. No longer a guest star.
And since she's based on an actual hero who does eventually die, we don't know how long she's going to be on.
Well, just because she eventually dies. Everyone in the cartoon comic books dies and comes back and dies and comes back. So they don't have to kill her in the show.
Well, it's funny. It's an interesting one. There's a couple that they did this to where the one who died was actually a Skrull when they did Secret Invasion and then they came back. Yeah. So anyway.
We've already got the Kree hanging around, so.
True.
I know they can't do it because that's probably with the Fantastic Four stuff.
Yes. But don't worry. Once this Fantastic Four
the Kree
movie
will
flops,
find a way to make clones. Yeah. Kree will figure that out.
But yeah, so anyway, yeah, that's yeah. You know, we're going to see her as a regular character now. That's cool.
And she dies in the second episode. She's a Wolverine member, so we can kill her off.
I don't think they understand the meaning of the word permanent cast member.
Yes. The other female news related to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I can't think of the character, the actress's name, but Lady Sif will be making another appearance.
Yes, Jamie Alexander.
There you go.
Yay!
So she will be back in episode 15. Or no, she previously appeared in episode 15, but she'll be back in an episode coming up in the second half of the season. And what's interesting is they've also released some plot points around it, in that apparently whatever happens to her, she will have some sort of temporary loss of memory, in that she will not remember who Thor is or that she serves Odin, and all these bits of information that just be lost from her memory, at least temporarily, while she's partnered up with Coulson and friends.
Sounds like a Loki plot. Oh.
Aren't they
Well, actually, I think this one is someone else. I think they mentioned in one of the articles I read about it that it's caused by someone. They mentioned some other Asgardian as being the source of her memory loss, but I can't remember who.
Enchantress?
Could be. I couldn't tell you.
That would be neat if they brought her in.
Yes.
It would be.
And to keep it back on Marvel for a little bit, with the comics...
Oh, just be honest. There's not much going on with DC.
Oh, no. There's stuff going on with DC that we're going to have to talk about.
There definitely is.
And you're going to hear Ben's head explode when we get to them. But another tie-in, more tie-ins were announced for Secret Wars, which includes... Which is including Planet Hulk... Which, okay, I think they teased that before. And now they've confirmed Spider-Verse will be tying in. Which, if you people are regular listeners, you know that Tom and Ron told us last week that there were going to be tie-ins with the Spider-Verse.
I also said there probably would be the week before that. So I think it's pretty...
but
it's not a huge leap of faith to get there.
But I understand you said that, but... We actually had information from a writer and an artist who are working on it.
And
you can say they're going to do this all you want.
I see how it is, Dave. I see how much my input's value.
I trust the people that actually work for Marvel, not your opinion. Oh, wait.
Stuff's getting real here.
Burn on you. Oh.
What is it? What is that feeling in my back? Sharp pain.
Sorry. But yeah, so that's cool. That's exciting. We'll see what happens with Spider-Verse. Maybe we'll end up with Spider-Gwen as a character in the regular 616 universe, or whatever they're going to call the universe once it's done.
Yeah, that'd be weird though. I think I honestly, I don't think it would make sense to have Spider-Gwen permanently part of the new universe. I think it would make more sense to allow her pocket universe to exist and explore that, because I think it's a more interesting story in that form. So, because there's all these parallels, like she becomes Spider-Man in that universe or Spider-Woman, but there's a different story arc for Peter in that universe where he ends up essentially becoming the Lizard
Right.
and her nemesis. And to sort of throw that away, I think that's an interesting story to continue, a what if scenario to explore further.
We'll see. We'll see. Oh, and then I'm sorry, we almost skipped. There were two important announcements about Deadpool this week.
Yes, he's getting a bright pink outfit.
Yes, and he'll have bows in his hair. No,
And a little pet toy lamb.
But no, there was a revealing picture of the mask and gloves, but it was sepia tone, so you couldn't really tell. But it looks good. The shape of the eye holes is perfect, and fits well. But also, they've announced some additional casting of who's going to be what the accessory characters are going to be in that movie, which includes a handful of X-Men,
Right.
which I don't have
And
in front of me, but the there's.
but what's her name? Oh, geez, my mind just went blank again. I'm bad with actresses' names.
Yes,
You
but
mentioned
you're good with
it
their faces.
Oh,
to me. You're
God.
the one that met wait, hold on. You're the one that mentioned her to me earlier.
You know,
Before
I'm
we
the one with
started
the fading
recording. I
memory. What
never
is wrong with
claimed
you
to be
two?
good with my memory.
Oh, what are you gonna blame your kids again?
Yeah, I have some
Well,
of those somewhere.
We're struggling here, guys.
But yeah, so well, they're adding in. There's gonna be Colossus is gonna be in there, and there's a couple other characters. They're popping in there from the X-Men. One is what is her name? Carino something or other. I will find it.
Was there any see,
Can you?
I haven't
We're
been
gonna.
keeping up on the Deadpool news. Has there been any mention of Cable?
There hasn't necessarily. There were things mentioned earlier on that Cable might fit into that universe speculatively, but it doesn't seem at this point that they've confirmed he will be any part of the current movie that they're working on.
Okay. All right. That because I mean, this is somebody they could bring in later too. It's not necessarily someone they have to use
Yeah.
in the first movie.
Gina Carano.
There you go.
Yeah, Gina Carano, who's previously been in things, including
Didn't know they made a Thing 3, but you know.
Almost Human. She was a guest role on that for a couple episodes, and some other things. But she will be part of Deadpool as X-Men, whose name I don't remember. Oh no, one of the Morlocks, Morlins, something like that.
Okay.
Thanks for all the help in looking things up here, guys. You guys are great.
Sorry. All right. So she's joined the cast.
She's joining the
Who was
cast.
a fan favorite for Wonder Woman at one point?
She was. TJ Miller is also joining in some undisclosed role, and they said that an X-Men's Colossus will appear, probably played, they don't know yet, but probably played by the same guy who played him in the other X-Men movies.
Right. Yes. So that wraps up all the Marvel stuff. So DC. So the first one,
And that's all we have time for.
I'll stick with a good show. So Flash, which
Yes.
I've been definitely enjoying. So every episode this season, and the Grodd has been definitely confirmed. He's gonna be in an upcoming episode, and they've actually released an image of him in the teaser. So.
Yeah, they've been
Cool.
teasing him for a while now in little bits and pieces, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see them finally coming to the screen and doing something.
Doesn't seem as smart as he's supposed to be. And if I thought I remember Grodd was supposed to be from Gorilla City.
Well, I think they're going with a different direction in this one, obviously. Yeah, right. His origin is rooted in the accident, as everyone else's origin is rooted in that same accident
apparently
in this universe.
Because nothing else happened in this. That is the one thing that bugs me about some of these is that everything comes, everybody knows everybody, and it's only a small group of people.
Well, but yeah, it's like
take it.
It's like the meteor storm in the beginning of Smallville.
Yes.
All that kryptonite made all the villains.
Yeah. But to your point, though, John, being super intelligent doesn't automatically mean that you're now going to be, you know, civilized and showing demeanor. You know, he is still a gorilla. He's going to, even if he has, you know, genius-level intelligence, it's not going to affect his moral values or judgments or what he, you know, necessarily shape the way he behaves. You know, and as far as he's the only one of his kind, you know, he's going to protect his own interests. You know, his moral code is more animal based than it is human based.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. But the small teasers, like they had one scene with two sewer guys, checking out some problems with the electricity, and they found that the writing on the wall seemed to suggest that he still isn't to the point where he is the hyper intelligent gorilla that. You know.
Yeah, but he could have written those weeks ago or months ago.
Right. We don't know how quickly his intelligence is advancing.
That could have been the early stage as he's still figuring out motor skills to write. But now is at a point where he's, you know, publishing doctorate papers on on PhDs R Us.
I think one of the reasons I like the inclusion of him on the show, it's and I know they've gone pretty fantastical so far, but I mean this is like them definitely saying, like, we're not afraid to take the show in a fantastical direction. Like, you know, it's comic book all the way. We're not holding back. We're not trying to make it grounded in reality. It's
not
a
like
guy
Arrow.
Can run super fast, beating people that can turn into gas clouds and super intelligent gorillas. And it's fun, you know. So that's the fun Warner CW DC show.
Good night.
Yes, that's all we have time for, friends.
So the other two, we'll just get to the other two and we'll call it a night. So as we all know, Gotham,
we know Gotham.
From Ben.
I was relieved to not watch it yet tonight by recording this podcast instead.
Yes,
but
so
I'll have to go back to it.
It's something that they told us. When the show launched, they made a promise.
They made a lot of promises that have broken very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one promise that I was hoping they would keep to is that they would not have the Joker on the show.
You know, to be fair though, I have to be fair to Gotham, because you know I've been really, you know, critical of it and not, you know, not enjoying it as much as I probably could. If I had realized earlier on that I was misreading the title this entire time.
Really?
What
is the actual title?
So what I didn't realize is there's a space in the middle. I'm waiting for that to process in John's head.
Gotham?
Yes.
God.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They've got plenty. And they dish it out to us week after week. And on that note, it is much more delicious.
Yeah,
but yes. Unfortunately, they are introducing the Joker, supposedly, or teasing that they are in an upcoming episode.
Right.
You're not supposed to know where the Joker came from. The point that the reason why he's so scary is because he's hyper intelligent, he's a sociopath, and nobody knows where the hell he came from.
Exactly. And so, and there's no point to him existing right now. It doesn't fit. He's not an antithesis to. To anything. James Gordon or to anyone in organized crime. He was an answer to Batman. He specifically exists to be an antithesis to Batman. It's even been suggested in the comics that he actually is one of the people that knows Batman's alter ego, but doesn't reveal it because he doesn't care, because Bruce Wayne is not interesting. Batman is. So whether he knows or not, it doesn't matter to him, because he's driven by being the thorn in Batman's side.
Well, I think, you know, basically how this season's going to wrap up is you're going to see that kid who's playing Bruce Wayne put on the costume and run around as Bat Kid. but
Batmite.
There you go.
Oh, no,
Batmite.
No.
Yeah, I mean they've shown all the teasers. It's connected to the Red Hood gang, which is one of the believed origins for the Joker.
Yeah.
They show in the teaser, you've met all these villains, but this one's no joke. They show the kid with the crazy eyes, and it's like, really? I stopped watching it because you've been trying to force feed us villains in every episode, basically, since you started. Instead of giving me a good story that concentrates on Gotham, I mean on Gordon becoming Jim Gordon, you know, working his way up the ranks and cleaning up the city.
And there's plenty of stuff they could have continued to do with that. I mean, they've got good actors. There are plenty of storylines. Having a young Selina Kyle in there was just fine, especially with the actress they picked for her.
Yeah, but they beat it over the head.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. They're rushing it. They're too impatient.
Right. But yeah, yes. While Dave has given up on it, I keep watching it week in and week out just so I can groundedly tell John how horrible it is.
I'm watching it too, although I'm 2 weeks behind at this point because I watched Arrow and The Flash, and then I got to that and I'm like, I don't feel like it.
So there was a video on YouTube not too long ago. I can't remember who originally showed it to me. It was Ben, John, or Pete. But
was it the Gotham Begins video?
Yeah, the Gotham Begins, and there's a scene where there's two people about to have a baby, and I think it's the Graysons in the video.
Yeah,
and everyone laughed. Oh, look, there's the origin of Dick Grayson and guess what? They must have saw the video. And said, that's a great idea, and now they're going to have the Flying Graysons on Gotham.
Yep.
Which just goes to show, do not give the Gotham writers any ideas now.
Right.
Stop making fun of it, because that will take you seriously.
They're obviously on the no-filter list. Yes, they're on the no-filter list. They will use anything you suggest now, which could be fun, but won't be as fun as you think it would be.
Right.
No, not at all. So...
So I think there's a lot to be desired here. And my biggest gripe with Gotham, besides the fact that they feel the need to introduce all these canon characters to help like keep people say, hey, look who we're showing you now and all this sort of crap. The other thing that bugs me is the way that these people behave is not the way that normal people behave. That everybody on this show essentially act like, all right, take a toddler version of each of these characters and then instantly make them a grown-up in a suit with a gun, and that's what we have. That's what Gotham is.
Well, it is an origin story, right?
It's a mafia of toddlers. That's what we're seeing. Because everybody acts as far as their you know, own self-interest in the next 5 minutes and not thinking further forward or using any of the collective experience that they have behind them to direct their actions.
So, like, yeah, one of the things that bugs me is, and don't get me wrong, the one aspect I've enjoyed of the show is the way they've written Penguin's origin.
Yes.
But I'm sorry, if this was the real world and this was the organized crime, blah, 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 as soon as Fish Mooney knew that he came back and he was alive, they would have just put a bullet in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And end of Penguin, and that's it. End of discussion.
Right, and that's like, why he shouldn't have come back. He shouldn't have physically come back. That was a big mistake, and they lost me at that point. It was already soft, but at that point, it just really... I felt like they already jumped the shark. After three episodes, they jumped the shark.
Now, see, they could have done it right. I mean, Penguin is a really incredibly intelligent and savvy mob guy, technically, at the base of it. So they could have played it right. They could have had him come back, but you know, strategically and knowing what he would be up against, and then have the whole interplay of the other two groups trying to find him and put a bullet in his head and him outwitting them. And that would have been incredible TV to watch. But instead, they're doing, as you said, they're literally doing the basic TV characters that don't know anything that happened in the last episode and, you know, get reset every new episode.
Guys, yeah. I just realized what's going on.
What?
Do you remember, you know, back in the 60s, they had the Batman show with Adam West, you know,
yeah, 66 I know. Batman. That
and kids took it seriously, but adults knew that it was a comedy. That's what's going on here. It's actually a comedy. We're just not realize it.
I wish this was a comedy because this is even too sad to be a comedy. Like there's a suspension of disbelief I'm willing to give a show. And usually that extends, like, especially with superhero based shows, to like, I'm willing to give Flash a pass with how all these characters have their abilities and what abilities they have. I'm willing to give Arrow a little bit of a pass in the things that the characters seem to do, you know, running around on rooftops and not getting recognized, even though all they're doing is wearing a hoodie. I give those degrees of, you know, modicums of disbelief suspended for those pieces because the drama is there and somewhat well founded and well thought out. Not as well as on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but definitely pretty good.
Or
Agent Carter, you're right. But with Gotham, it's just not there. Like, these people don't even act like people. They don't even act like human beings would act. Every action that they do is just to serve the story that they're moving along, and it doesn't fit together. It doesn't fit.
Yes.
People will not act the way that these people act.
Hey, I just got an email.
The writers from Gotham want to come on the show?
You're checking email? You're that bored with what he was saying?
Apparently.
I'd expect no less.
Our new sponsor is Gotham on Fox. Hey, what a great show that is, guys.
I love it.
It's amazing drama. Is that what that says here? Okay, amazing drama. No,
this is Amazon drama. It's moving to Amazon.
Oh, Amazon drama, right.
Oh, so yes, the Gotham Appreciation Society. I think it's a good place to call it a week. So to everyone out there listening, first off, you know, this is episode 92. We're almost to 100, and I just want to say to everyone listening again, thank you guys for listening. And if you like the show, you know, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you do subscribe to us on iTunes, go and leave a review for us. You know, spread the word. We really appreciate it. You know, whatever you can do.
Bird is not the word.
No. Yeah. Bird is not the word, and Gotham's not the word.
But yes, we are in all of the medium. So yes. Feel free to come chat us up all over the place.
Yes. And don't forget the question of the week, everyone. Why did Michael Jackson want to buy Marvel in the 90s? And
keep it clean.
Two words, high heel boots.
And again, if you think you know the answer, hashtag StumpTheGeekSpeak on Twitter or put in our Facebook page. And yeah. And as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or, if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.
Superhero Speak promo, take one. Get your promo done.
So do you read comic books? Do you enjoy comic book movies? Well, then you should be listening to Superhero Speak.
What's that, Dave?
It is a weekly podcast where we talk about comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons,
and all other things comic book related.
That sounds great. Who hosts it?
Well, I host it.
Oh, I'm out.
We also have Ben. You're one of the hosts.
Oh, you lost me.
Okay. Again. We also have John.
I'll do anything for money.
If John's there, I might show up every once in a while.
And occasionally we have Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Once in a while, when things are rough on the budget, I might step in and help out.
It's a good thing we have that padding in the budget to have him show up every once in a while.
He shows up for Oreos and orange juice. So I don't know.
Have you seen his IMDb page? He needs the work.
The Headless Horseman was a hell of a role. Hell of a role.
If you want a podcast that feels like the conversations that you have in your local comic book shop, then you should check us out on SuperheroSpeak.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Podcasters, I'm going to have you redo that entire promo. It wasn't working for me at all.
It was the plaid and the stripes, wasn't it?
Listen, you had an hour at Mood. I don't know what you did with your time.
Mostly slingshotting bow ties.
So, Mr. Gunn, what is your favorite comic book?
Personally, I like The Adventures of Superman because I love that costume. It's so skin tight and it's adequately designed.
Have you ever heard of the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy them.
Oh, it sounds naughty. David, you rascal.
Oh, my gosh.